when I watched the movie for the first time in high school, like I rented it because I was like, oh yeah, I remember the show. The show was kind of fun from when I was a kid. And I watched the movie and I didn't have any fucking clue what was going on at all. And it was great. Well, no, it wasn't. I was just like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And then like, why is David Bowie in this?
David Bowie.
Yeah.
That's weird.
He's in it for like 5 minutes and he's just speaking gibberish and it's great.
I had never heard of it until you told me whatever episode that was.
That's because you're a fucking uncultured hick.
Probably.
Yeah.
I used to be, Bill.
What is your culture now, Doug? Did you go see Jackass yet?
No.
See, you haven't even seen Jackass yet. That's not, you're not even like bottom barrel culture.
I did see Sing 2, Bill.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Did the animals sing?
They did.
Did they dance?
They did.
Did they get into some hijinks in order to save a network? I assume that's what it's about. I don't. You don't even remember.
Oh. I was trying to think what you'd be referencing.
UHF starring Weird Al Yankovic.
The first one, Mr. Moon creates his singing Scoot competition to mic. Try to save his
Scoot back from the mic.
This is how I always have it. It's always right here.
Okay, that's better.
Is that better, Bill?
No.
You're just getting so loud.
No, it's actually quiet now.
Is that better, Bill?
A little bit. But now you lean back. God damn, fuck. Man.
Don't get me so excited about Sing 2.
We almost had a bit going and then you ruined it because you're like, oh, I get so excited. And then
I'm like, oh. Hey, is this better?
That's fine.
Okay. So in the movie.
Why are you yelling now?
I'm just talking. It's so far away. Is that better?
I don't know anymore.
Okay, so Mr. Moon is played by Matthew McConaughey.
Is that the koala?
That is.
Okay.
And then you got Johnny, and he's like, my dad's in the gang, and he's a gorilla. Gorilla.
Welcome to It's All Elite Pro Wrestling Podcast. I did it again, didn't I? Take two. I'm even looking at it. Welcome to It's All. God damn it, Doug, I gotta do this. Welcome to It's All Pro Wrestling Podcast. My name is Bill.
And my name is Doug.
And we are two men in our 30s talking about professional wrestling at the end of the world. Doug, how's your week going, buddy?
Oh, it's so good, Bill. I was over 2 hours late to work today.
Did you sleep in?
My body just decided to shut down and not wake up to any of my like 6 alarms I have set.
Are you okay otherwise? Or
yeah, tired? I think so. Just tired. It was just one of those two overnights in a row, and then back at 5 a.m.
Fuck, that's cool.
Yeah.
Man, that's so cool.
Bill, how was your week?
My week's actually been pretty good, I think. Went and saw a movie just this evening.
Oh, that's cool.
A little Twin Peaks Fire Walk with me. But I drug my wife to that. That was the first time we actually went on a date in like 2 fucking years. So that was kind of nice.
That's cool. Did you get some dinner, Bill?
I ate at the theater.
Okay.
Because it's one of those Alamo Draft House things.
Gotcha.
We shared a gluten-free pizza.
Ooh.
Anyway, oh shit, we have a wrestling podcast, Doug.
Oh, hey. Hey, all three of you that aren't family members, we appreciate you listening. Or close friends.
Or close friends.
Yes.
I do know of one close friend that says he listens to us every week.
Oh, wow. Well, whoever you are, thank you very much. We appreciate it. To all of you that have been listening from the beginning or just listened to one, or this is your first one, thank you very much.
I'm sorry.
Appreciate it.
All right. So, Doug, wrestling. Did you just grandma laugh or grandma?
That was me trying to do a sound effect for you. And yes, it turned into a grandma laugh.
It was more a grandma grunt. Uh-huh. That is, I guess that we never really did call that. We just said grandma. All right. So, Doug, start us off. What are we talking about wrestling wise? Because there's a bunch of stupid shit.
It's a bunch of stupid in the wrestling world. Is there? Let's go with the good stuff.
Okay, start it up.
I highly enjoyed AEW Rampage, Bill.
What a surprise! Rampage.
I thought it was a good one.
Actually, that was a hell of a rampage. Yeah, Cole actually had a great match with fucking Preston
Vance, whatever. Yeah. He's looking jacked.
Oh, he's fucking huge right now. He's beefy and slammy. Dante and Hobbs was exactly what it should have been.
Yeah.
Except for Hobbs won, which no one's complaining here.
No, it was a surprise, but I'm glad.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't hurt Dante. If anything, it made him look like he looked awesome during the match.
Yeah, it made him look just great. And it put Keith Lee versus Hobbs in a ladder match. So,
and Wardlow and someone else we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah. Ooh, look at that.
That match was great.
The D match was fine. It was whatever.
It's not supposed to be much, but I enjoy the little segments. Being a big deep fan.
It's a good gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good gimmick, and it's putting her over. And then we have fucking Trent and Jay White.
Yes.
I was legitimately upset that Trent didn't win.
Were you?
And I want to say that in, like, from me watching the match, it wasn't like, oh, well, Trent needs to win here because of Derek Fair. I was so invested.
Gotcha.
In it. And I love Trent, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I'm like, oh God, fucking damn it. And then my wife's just like, or Mallory, oh fucking, but Mallory. Mallory's just like, well, were you expecting something different? And I was like, no, I just really wanted him to win. Like, cause that was the power of the match.
Right.
Like, I wanted Trent to win. And not for dumb booking reasons.
Just because you're a fan and that's who you're rooting
and that
for.
Match. And that match put me into that Finn mentality. And I mean, even more so than normal and everything like that. And it was such a great match. And Trent, Tony Khan wants all the hugs from Trent in the world. He has a huge crush on Trent and I don't blame him whatsoever.
I mean,
and Switchblade Jay White was, that was a great debut for Switchblade.
For sure.
Cause he's a swarmy shitty pirate.
Mm-hmm. They're both awesome. Trent was, in my opinion, one of the better outings I've seen from him in a long time. Like, he's been great since he got back, but like, it's just progressively each week feels like he's just getting
better and better,
better and better in his singles matches. And Jay White was a great opponent for it.
Yes. And we need more Jay White availability. Mm-hmm. That isn't on Impact.
Right.
Oh, let's segue into Impact, Doug.
Let's do it. I was going to say, I totally forgot about it until you said Impact.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, so Impact, for those who don't know, because some people don't, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
is a little wrestling promotion that's been around for about 21 years now or so. And Jay White, Switchblade has a, is commonly used on it right now. Mm-hmm. And Doug, what happened with Jay White?
So I believe is this, was it the pay-per-view was Saturday? It was the 19th, whenever that was. I believe it was Saturday.
Yeah.
So it was the
good. Yeah, because that was the same as Elimination Chamber.
So the Good Brothers were tag team champions. Were going against G.O.D. had arrived, and I think they'd been over there for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And Jay White had been with them.
G.O.D. Doug.
We gotta explain this to people who are
dumb like me.
Okay, the Gorillas of Destiny, the Tongans, Tamatanga and Tongaloa.
Yes.
Okay. And then their brother.
Who are Haku.
Haku's or sons. Ming, yes.
Sons.
And they also and they have
a brother.
Another brother, Hikaleu, who's been hanging out over there as well. He's had a few, one or two appearances in AEW.
Two appearances or so, but he's two primarily wrestling, match. I believe, in. Is it MLW or is he an Impact?
I want to say it's possibly New Japan Strong.
He is definitely New Japan Strong. So it's probably Impact. If he's doing anything, it's probably Impact. Then, okay. He's not an MLW. Yeah.
Yes. Bullet Club originals. Or wait, no.
Close to it.
Yeah. As close as you're going to get.
Tama was right after. Tama was before Luke Gallows. He came in with Balak Fale.
Yeah.
But Bullet Club. It's those annoying shirts worn by 30-year-old men that you see that promote gun violence.
Mm-hmm. How many Bullet Club shirts do you have, Bill?
Technical Bullet Club shirts? 3. And when I was working at a place that was a cubicle situation, my desktop background was Bullet Club, and I got a lot of questions about it. Yeah. It was the Bullet Club logo.
I have some. So is that a gun club? Is there any shooting ranges around here?
No, it was more like along the lines of like, should we be worried? And I was like, no, you're one of the good ones.
Mine is always, oh, you like guns? No. And then it had to go in the awkward 10-minute explanation of what the Bullet Club was. So it's like WWE? Well,
just say yes. It's new. Yeah. Just say it's NWO.
Yeah.
You remember the NWO shirts from the 90s? It's that.
It's like you want to explain it, but no one has any idea, and then you just feel stupid.
Man, we are tangenting like motherfuckers. We're never gonna get this done. Doug, to go to bed yet?
No, I think I'm gonna stay up all night tonight so I don't sleep through my alarm again.
That's not how that works at all.
Oh, well.
So anyway, Trent and Jay White, fantastic match.
Yes.
Going back to the G.O.D., Gorillas of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to them in Bullet Club?
Okay. So during the match, Jay White, who's the leader of the Bullet Club, has been hanging out with G.O.D. He came in during that match. Looked like he was going to interfere or attack one of the Good Brothers. Ended up turning on G.O.D., I believe he attacked Tama.
That seems right.
And then Good Brothers for the win. And now he, I don't know what the end game with this is, but now he's with the Good Brothers.
I think, so I have a theory.
Okay.
On this. So Switchblade is grabbing old Bullet Club members on the Impact side, right? The Adam Cole situation with the Bucks. Kenny comes back and is completely Kenny Omega, the world's greatest wrestler that isn't in Japan, comes back and says, oh shit, I'm all by myself. I'm alone. Eventually the Bucks come over not only the Bucks, Hangman comes back. Our sweet elite comes into play. Cole's a shitty heel. Impact, Good Brothers. It's the old school. And Jay White, then Jay White and Kenny go at it and do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's Kenny Swan Song, essentially. He's feeling good. He's able to move. He's doing a bunch of shit. And he's kicking ass. Goes from isolation to, once again, getting a group and feeling empowered through it.
Right.
That's what I would do. But I also am the head writer for AEW.
Yes.
Oh, no. I just admitted it.
Now, what's going on the Bullet Club New Japan side with Jay White separating from the GOT?
I don't know, because there's a goddamn 48 man tournament for some bullshit thing. You look confused, and that's fine, because it is the most, like, there's a 48 man tournament for the New Japan Cup. Mm-hmm. And I looked through it and I was just like, I don't give a fuck. I mean, I want Okada to win it. But like, I was looking at the first round matchup, and there was one that was, I can't remember off the top of my head who it was, but it was Toru Yano mm-hmm. versus someone. And I'm like, you're burning that in the first round? It was like another comedy. Or it might have been like against Tai Chi, who is like Suzuki Gun's like clown jester. He's the guy who sings and stalks and everything like that. And I think it was like Tai Chi versus Toru Yano. And I'm like, you're wasting that on the first fucking round? Like, I'll just put it out there, man. New Japan, don't have their shit together. New Japan Strong, there's some amazing shit happening. And Rocky Romero, who is apparently our boy now, because we reference him at least every other episode, he has his shit going on. Ghetto is a fucking nightmare right now as far as booking New Japan, but it's a 48 man tournament. No one gives a fuck.
Jesus. Is Ibushi back?
Mm-mm. No, he's fucked.
Is he?
Because he's fucking Kota Ibushi. I think it's shoulder. I think that's what Meltzer was saying.
Shoulder. Was it Wrestle Kingdom or the end of G1?
I think it was Wrestle Kingdom. Well, I think he was injured going into Wrestle Kingdom. I don't know. Here's the deal. You want to watch New Japan? Mm-hmm. Watch it on Access if you have the availability to, because it's what it should be. New Japan right now, man, they're in a clusterfuck. And I don't know what to tell you.
It's about.
But so you did the good with Rampage. Do you want to continue the good with Dynamite, Doug? Or because I assume you're like, oh well, I'm wearing my AEW sweatshirt from AEWshop.com.
Do you want to slip something else in there? You said some bad.
No.
Okay. I thought Dynamite was...
I got plenty of bad.
I thought Dynamite overall was fantastic. What started us off? The clusterfuck that was the tag team battle royale.
That sucked. Minus our sweet boy Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Butcher had a run and he looked fucking great.
I was pissed that he went out so early though.
Yeah, I understand why though. I mean, they got nothing for him.
Yeah.
He's stuck in shit. But they booked spots around him where he broke up the Young Bucks. Mm-hmm. He broke up Red Dragon. He looked fucking strong.
He was focused on early.
Yeah. So I have no, like, they put some focus on our sweet boy Andy. I have no fucking problem with that. Trent looked like a fucking badass and strong as fuck. But the battle royal itself sucked. Other than the ending.
Yeah,
I thought the story was stupid.
They pretty much told you last week what was going to happen.
Yeah, it was easy, which it's not a bad thing necessarily.
No,
but
it's still fun because there's a point where it's like fish gets thrown out, and there's still quite a few people left in the ring and some quality individuals. I'm like, okay, Kyle O'Reilly's gonna win, but is he gonna win? Like, there's still some people in there that
maybe they swerve it. They're maybe fucking Dax wins.
Yeah.
Oh God. In that fucking spot where Dax gets his leg kicked out from underneath him, it took fucking forever. Like, I don't know. I mean, it felt like 15 minutes. It wasn't. No, that's dumb. It felt like 5 minutes. It took fucking forever.
So my wife was like, who's that guy in the corner over there? And like, I'm like, oh, that's Bobby Fish. He's just sitting in the corner.
Hanging out. So rooting for his friend.
So he was there for like 5 minutes before he took another 5 minutes to crawl over to where the spot was going to happen.
My God. It's a cool spot. And like, but it's just like everything just... the timing on it was weird. I hated it. Yeah. Other than it, Butcher looked great. Trent looked great. And on top of that, we had a good finish. I liked Kyle O'Reilly being a swarmy piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Kyle O'Reilly being a swarmy piece of shit is so fucking good. Like the idea of trying to turn him face that NXT did.
Yeah.
Was the dumbest fucking thing. He's just pure swarm. Like, he's just such a punchable face. So
just let him play his air guitar.
Exactly. Hogan it out, baby.
Yeah.
The only time we should reference Hogan in a positive light is belt guitar. The MJF promo. This is the only thing that everyone is talking about. Mm-hmm. Doug, go. Tell me.
I'm trying.
Tell me about emotions. I don't know what emotions are. Tell me.
It was very emotional. Like, it was so emotional coming from MJF that it was like so confusing. Because you're just like waiting. You're just waiting for it to turn. Or waiting for him to, oh, I swerved you. I fuck you. You know, like just waiting for him to turn, but he never did. He just kept it pure emotion the whole promo. How CM Punk ruined his life and
didn't ruin his life.
Not ruin his life, but you know, was
gave him the motivation to do why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, and he brought it, and it wasn't just he made it so you couldn't really rip on him because he talked about getting bullied and just all kinds of other serious stuff.
His disability that he has,
yeah,
neurodivergent, yes, like basic Bill is just saying weird.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good promo. I felt weird during all of it. As soon as he started saying he said he had ADHD, and then like you hear like a third of the crowd laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh no, this is. I don't know what I'm supposed to be feeling right now.
Right. That's what I'm like. It's confusing because like, why? Yes, it was a great promo, but it was so different from anything you've ever heard from MJF that you just didn't know how to take it.
But at the same time, it was insanely relatable as
oh, for sure.
As wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you and I are a little bit disconnected from the CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you and I started coming into it, back into it, I should say, Punk was on his way out. He was fed up. He was pissed off. He fucking hated everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he left when you and I were really starting getting hard into it. Right. Again.
So we always kind of had our thumb in it a little. So you knew who CM Punk was. You knew who he is supposed to be, the best in the world. And then we get hard back into it and he's gone.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. I got hard into it like right before that Royal Rumble in 2014. That's when I was like, yeah, I'm fucking it. Like, and he leaves, and I knew who he was. I knew who he was beforehand. Like, I knew even, like, I remember hearing his name.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't devastate me personally,
right,
that he left, other than it shows you how the business works, and that's how my mind works. But there's a lot of people who are not like us still, who at the exact same time are just like us, sympathize completely about Punk leaving and feeling abandoned, because Punk was, like, especially at the time when the product was one company,
mm-hmm.
Punk was kind of a spotlight onto what things could be. And now we're at that point where things can be better than WWE. And so MJF in turn like related everything to a bunch of people, the majority of the fan group, into relating to him, which is weird.
Like, if it had been anyone else, like, you would have been 100% connected and, you know, super into it. Not that I wasn't super into it, but being MJF, mm-hmm. who's usually coming out, you know, just telling you that you're a worthless piece of shit, and, you know, you guys in whatever town you are a bunch of nobodies. Instead, he's coming out and relating to you, and you're just like, why are you doing this? Or, you know, in the end, it was a great promo. It'll be interesting to see the next layers to this.
I don't think you can layer it. Like, you can't have MJF come back out the next week and say, ha ha ha, you dumb fuckers, I don't give a shit. Unless he does it in such a superficial way.
Yeah. Well, my guess is, like, maybe they're going to progress it and he'll somehow use it towards his advantage in the match or after the match, so that he's not going to turn it right away. But, you know, he already has CM Punk doubting him, or, like, letting his guard down a little, or sympathizing towards MJF. So you kind of see the switch in balance.
It's really good. I mean, it took it to a level that no one was expecting.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
After seeing that, I'm like, okay, I've always respected MJF and thought he was the best heel. But after that, it's like, you should be the next world champion now. Like,
no, he shouldn't.
No.
He will have his run, but
he will have his run.
Yeah, I know.
So I initially thought that, but then I'm like, wait, we still got the Wardlow to work out first.
Not even like storyline wise, he's a talent. There is he's able to shut down crowds chanting against him or trying to over chant him. He's able to do that. No one's able to do that as well as he can.
Mm-hmm.
He has a thought process on this is why this is going to work. His matches are all good. He is a talent. But I don't think I think he understands that he doesn't necessarily need to be a world champion to do that. Mm-hmm. Especially going back to the Roddy Piper thing. How many world championships did Roddy Piper ever own?
Zero.
Roddy Piper's considered to be, as far as basic fans are concerned, and not even fans, but just within just the general, I hate this word so much, but the general oeuvre of people in general, most people know who Roddy Piper is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something to that. And I think that MJF has that capability of doing so. probably the, it was definitely the most proficient promo that AEW's ever had. And that includes anything that Eddie Kingston, who is the greatest promo out there, has done. Speaking of which, Chris Jericho sucks at promos. Eddie Kingston fucking killed him on it. Eddie Kingston is the greatest. Jericho looked like a fucking buffoon.
Jericho is trying so hard. And I don't know how much of it was like planned that way or. But I mean, Jericho's usually pretty good on the mic. But
Jericho's great on the mic.
Yeah, but Eddie Kingston just countered everything he had to say, was two steps ahead of him, just made him look horrible.
King Eddie Kingston, man. When I look to Mallory, my beautiful, talented, and charming wife. And she is watching. Because I look at her during promos to kind of feel like how it's going for someone who isn't me and you or a portion of our listening group. We love you, listening group, but you know what I'm talking about. And she is just so entertained by Eddie Kingston. Like, she's like, she loves Eddie Kingston. She's not a person who would gravitate towards Eddie Kingston,
right?
But she loves him, and she likes Jericho because she does, like, because of the same thing, the charisma, the ability to run a promo. But fucking Kingston, man, I love Eddie Kingston.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
We had the House of Black, the Kings of the Black Throne versus Penta, what did they call him? Obscuro?
Oscuro?
Mm-hmm.
Which apparently is Dark Penta, which has only showed up, as far as I know, on Lucha Underground.
Yeah, when was that in Lucha Underground? Because I hadn't got to that yet. I had heard of Penta Dark, but I hadn't seen him.
All I know is that he breaks arm.
Okay. Well, he was breaking arms.
How do you feel about that match?
Overall, I didn't like the pin. I was like, oh, come on. Oh, what the fuck? During the match itself, like, I felt like you started to see more of Brody King come out, more of Malachi Black come out. You got to see that, you know, them shine a little more. They've been kind of a little reserved or kind of slowly building themselves up. So,
yeah,
I felt like you got to see them a little better. I thought Penta looked awesome. I felt like Penta and Puck. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember what they did. Like,
they didn't do anything.
Okay.
They don't mesh well.
All I can really remember is Brody and Malachi were looking really good.
Brody and Malachi were looking okay. Then you get the weird roll-up. And then you got your boy. Oh, man. I was going to say Buddy Murphy, but that's not right.
Matthews.
Buddy Matthews, who is, to quote a term from OSW Review, a roidy magoo. Fucking, he's even bigger than he was.
Right.
And I like the play that they got going with Alistair. Oh fuck, man. Malachi.
Oops.
But I have brain damage. Fuck off. Yeah. Malachi and Matthews. Mm-hmm. God damn, this is gonna suck. Because of their feud that they had in WWE.
Right.
And Matthews coming in. Sleepiness. Can you even see my face before?
I can see the part of your head, the like top of your head.
I'm in my library.
That's cool. Who told you last week after we are done that Who did I think was going to be the third member of the House of Black, Bill?
Oh, it was definitely you. And you were correct.
Oh.
And I edited that all out. Because I am the narrator. Danielson versus Garcia.
What did you think of that?
It was really good. I liked the Moriarty match better, though.
Really?
I did. I think this has to do more with probably how I feel about Garcia. I feel that Garcia can go toe-to-toe with Danielson a lot better than Moriarty would.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that Moriarty got more offense in than Garcia, especially as far as Danielson looking for violence.
Yeah.
I think I like the match. I did like the match. The Roman knuckle clutch into elbow throwing is a hell of a spot. And we are definitely going to see that on every independent show for the next 2 years because it was a cool spot. And it looked, I mean, I really liked that. But it was just one of those things where I think Garcia honestly was probably really fucking nervous.
You could see the slight expressions in his face in the very beginning, like oh wow, like I'm going up against Danielson. Like, you felt a little, you saw just a slight difference in his face at the beginning.
Exactly.
But I think the match is just different than expected because you're just expecting, like, okay, Danielson Garcia is just going to be this technical masterpiece of who can do what better, and you know, just, but instead they brought in the violence, just a lot of hard hitting, and which I don't know, I really enjoyed it. It was different than I expected, but I thought it was fantastic.
I'm not saying I hated the match at all. I just, when I saw the announcement of Danielson versus Garcia, my expectations went through the fucking roof. And this is definitely, it's not me. All right. No, it's not you. It's me situation. Right. Actually, I need to revisit it. I'll just put it. I need to revisit.
I hella enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be the last time you see those two in the ring.
Oh, I fucking hope not.
So I think, maybe they didn't give you the full effect this time because it's someone that, he is going to go against again. Whereas some of these matches, he's probably not going to go against Evil Uno or John Silver, some of these other matches he's done. But Garcia is the guy that he'll have several matches in AEW with.
Yep. Let's go into the bringing down situation. Let's talk about Dax Harwood and HBK's a fucking.
Okay. I've been seeing parts of it, but I didn't fully know the whole story of what happened.
So, and actually what's funny about this is that I think you and I even referenced it. We did when we were talking about the Hammerstein Ballroom a handful of episodes ago.
Okay. Right?
You were asking me about what the, you're like, when they did the Raw 25 episode. And I said, yes. So Dax goes on to Renee, I'm going to butcher it, Parquet. Old Renee Young, as most of us know her, but her real name, Renee Parquet, and Dax Harwood was talking about going through the mental and emotional issues that we as humans go through. Anxiety, depression. He had a lot of issues with his family life that was very tough for anyone, and that would be involved with it. And he decided to talk about his issues to one Shawn Michaels, or otherwise known as the fucking heartbreak fucking kid. He lays it all out. This is before the Raw 25. So the Raw 25 episode, if you don't know, was essentially everyone in the clique, which would be Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Sean Waltman, X-Pac, mm-hmm. or 1-2-3 Kid, or Six, or Six-Pac, laying those guys out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And Dax had a problem with it because he is a technician. He loves professional wrestling, everything like that. He lays it all out to Shawn Michaels, who had a role in creative, meaning a producer role, laying it all out there and talking about how he himself has ran through emotional and mental problems that his wife helped him get him through, both naturally or because of the environment, his life, everything like that. And Sean comes and says, "That's right, brother. I've done the same thing. Wives are great. I love the Jesus. The Jesus helps me through everything." And then once he gets in front of his friends, the clique starts making fun of Dax's issues.
Was that off screen?
Off screen.
Okay. So behind the scenes, he is joking around with Triple H, X-Pac, whoever about it.
Yeah. And, okay. And Triple H, who has been Dax's boss through NXT and who gave Dax and Cash a significant platform to display what they can do as, in my opinion, the greatest tag team in all of professional wrestling. Currently, maybe overall, and everyone just shits on him, shits on the guy for espousing, for going through his shit. And then they do the whole spot where Dax and Cash take everyone's finishers, and it's great, and we can all nostalgia bond into a cultural depth of hell. And that's the, and that's what he laid out.
Okay, so basically he thought, He laid it all out, some serious issues to HBK, thought he had his trust and thought he like had his back, and then he just goes behind it and basically makes fun of him and then shows him up on TV, basically, or makes him look weak.
Shows up on not even on TV, because HBK's convinced him that it's okay to get worked over on TV.
Yeah.
But it's a backstage shoot.
Gotcha.
I'll just put it this way. Shawn Michaels is a fucking piece of shit. Bret Hart would never fucking do that.
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
Now, Bret Hart, if you couldn't work and if you were a horrible human being, he would bury you to fucking death. Bill Goldberg, he doesn't know how to fucking work.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just one of those. It fucking sucked.
I heard there's a lot of, as I was kind of reading about it, I didn't get the full story. But I was seeing other people say, "Oh, this doesn't surprise me. I've heard he's a, you know, two-faced piece of shit, you know." So I've heard there's a lot of instances of, you know, HBK not really being a true, genuine
person. Shawn Michaels is the greatest piece of shit ever to be introduced into professional wrestling that is not named fucking Hulk Hogan or fucking Jim Hellwig, aka Warrior. Like, just, I mean, other than the people who did really bad shit to people in vulnerable situations.
Yeah.
As far as the business is concerned, HBK, and this is the hill that I will die on in professional wrestling, HBK did nothing good for professional wrestling. He's athletic. He understands psychology. but he also fucking took the 70s and 80s and 90s politicking, and he grasped and he made it to his advantage to the point where it killed the fucking business.
No, I know where you're coming from. I've heard the spiel. I respect it.
Bret Hart would have fucking done that kind of shit.
Right.
Like, if you go back to the point of, like, our sweet boy from the Rocky Mountains, Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Vader was a monster who is insanely insecure. Bret Hart points out that he's insecure. And it's like, he's just a big baby, but he's scary in the ring. But I have all the respect for the world in him. Like, that's how you fucking take on everything. Well, Shawn Michaels will wrestle Vader. Vader will mess up a spot that Shawn Michaels created. And then he'll stomp him to death, Vader. And Vader, knowing who Shawn Michaels is, won't come up and just kill him because he could. Because he also needs a job. And he understands the politics.
Right.
And then Shawn Michaels kills Vader's career because, oh, he can't work. Tells Vince McMahon he can't work.
Vince has all the trust in him because he's the heartbreak because Vince kid. Wants,
Shawn Michaels is the biggest piece of shit that is not Jim Hellwig or Terry Bollea in all of professional wrestling.
Well, Bill...
Time for bed.
Do you got anything else good?
Looking at the list, Cesaro might be free.
Cesaro might be free.
Oh, look at what you did.
What?
That's a good shirt.
The Cesaro section?
No, that's a great shirt. I don't remember that shirt at all.
You don't remember the Cesaro section shirt? It was in the time when, like, the whole like hard cam side had all the little like Cesaro signs.
Yeah, the printed piece of papers. Yeah.
I want to say it was when he was on a. Was it like after Tyson Kidd, when he had his big solo? Well, his bit for him, it was his big solo run. Not that they actually did much with it when he was a fan favorite.
Which is always
yeah, and then they turn, and then it was before the bar, I believe. Yeah,
it's a good shirt. I like that shirt. Like, it's not annoying. What is there anything on the back on it?
I don't remember. I think there's just a little logo on the back. I think like the world, no WWE or anything. I'd go crazy, Bill, if he showed up in AEW.
Oh well, that's.
So many possibilities. Let him just really lay in those uppercuts and all those moves you know he's capable of, but doesn't get to do. Him and Kenny, him and Danielson.
Buddy Matthews.
Malachi Black. Like, he can work so many different ways. He's so big and strong, but yet he can... You've seen him do some weird aerial stuff, like... He can go with the big guys, but he can go with the high flyers. He's been one of the guys when I got back into wrestling that became one of like my new favorites. All right, Bill. You want me to give you some homework for next week?
Yes.
Ooh, okay, Bill. All right, so I'm going to take you back to January 9th, 1990. And we're going to go over to Japan. We're going to have a match between Jumbo versus Misawa.
Oh. Ooh. Okay. Is this all Japan?
Yes.
Okay. So confident.
So confident. If it isn't, we will.
So confident. No, we're confident.
I mean yeah, well, it was in Japan, Bill.
It was all
of the match took place in the country of Japan, is what I thought you meant.
There we go. Yeah, no, I got it. Yeah.
Jumbo. Ugh. That's all I'll say.
Is it because he's a large boy?
Yeah. All the beef.
I do enlarge. God damn it. Fucking brain.
You like it large?
All right. Oh, baby. I like it raw.
Ooh.
Oh, baby. I like it raw. That's a whole different thing. Doug.
Yes, Bill.
I was going to give you. Oh, shit. You're yelling at me.
Sorry, Bill.
That's okay. Starcade 1983. You were one. I was one. Mm-hmm. Together, we were one. Piper. Valentine.
Greg the Hammer Valentine?
No. Marcus Aluente Valentine.
Okay.
Junior.
His cousin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the infamous dog collar match with Marcus Aluente Jr. and Roddy Ryder Piper. Because MJF and Punk, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm. They've definitely been referencing Piper for like 3 or 4 weeks in a row now.
And there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
Interviews that MJF has done in the past, he's always said that Roddy Piper is his major influence.
Okay. And they definitely have brought up this match when CM Punk kind of came up with the idea for the dog collar. So yeah, I'm looking forward to watching that.
Well, and they, and AEW as a whole did it when your boy Cody
mm-hmm.
had wrestled Brody and Valentine was in the empty arena to watch it.
Was he really?
He was.
That's cool.
Your boy Greg.
Did he have his shirt off and just sitting in the lazy boy on the stands?
What's great about Greg the Hammer Valentine is that he's always had the same body type from like 1981 till now. Yeah. And it's beautiful.
Except for he's more tan now than he ever was.
No, he's just as tan.
Was he always tan back then? I don't.
In my head, he was like, and, oh man, see, Greg the Hammer Valentine is a super like remember a boy situation for me, because right. Like I'd be like, oh, in WCW, he used to come on a Ric Flair robe for some reason and not get his ass kicked, like what the, oh man,
yeah, he's the one Hammer. Of those guys that's just like always been around and
will never die.
Yeah.
And he looks like everyone's fucking drunk aunt. Like and that's all how he's always looked. Like he's a beautiful boy.
Doesn't him and a honky tonk like go around on the like real weird like offshoot Comic-Con stuff together? Like they did the one in like Cheyenne.
They did Cheyenne and then they fucking hit Golden.
There's one in Golden?
Yeah.
Oh, they wrestled.
Oh, that's debatable. Like it was that they wrestled at like, I think it was called the White Buffalo. It's downtown Golden. And there was a promotion that was out of there. I don't know if they're still around. I don't even remember the name of their promotion, honestly. But it was, oh man. Yeah, because they did the Cheyenne Comic-Con, which, man, if you're anywhere, the Cheyenne Comic-Con is probably where you shouldn't be. I mean, it's right there with the Colorado Springs Comic-Con. Sorry, John Moxley.
And Britt Baker.
Oh, yeah, Britt was there too, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm. I thought about going until I saw, I never saw how much it was to get in. It was however much to get in, but then to get an autograph with Moxley was like 75, and I think it was the same for Britt.
Britt was charging Moxley prices?
I don't know if it was quite that much, but.
Because, see, I thought Mox was doing like $1, $1.50.
Oh, maybe it was. I remember seeing it and I'm like, okay, never mind. Like, it'd be awesome to go, but I'm not going to pay like $200 overall to get a picture and maybe an autograph.
Mick is coming to the Springs.
Is he? For what?
His tour.
Stand up?
It's a day after my birthday.
Is it? You going?
No. I hope not, because I could see my sister buying tickets for it.
Ooh, you love Mick Foley.
Well, I do. I just don't want to see him live. And I texted, like, she sent it to me.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, Mick's going to be in the Springs. And I'm just like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then, like, 15 minutes later, I'm just like, oh, fuck. Like,
You already have tickets.
I was just like, maybe you'll be smart and resell them. Because I'm just like, his speaking engagements, his stand-up is really, it's interesting, but it's also really sad. Like, he's trying for laughs, like I am. Gotcha. Me, Bill.
Oh. Bill, do you like Sweet Boys this week? Or do you like your bed?
Oh, God. Do you really have one?
I do.
All right, well, let's give it a go.
I hardly know anything about them, but I know you will know them.
Maybe.
Okay, let me do things. Apparently, this guy started off in like 83, but the first stats I had about him was in 91 and 92. He was used as a jobber in WWF under the ring name Mike Fury. He lost to such stars such as British Bulldog, The Warlord, Tito Santana, and Bret Hart. But you will most know him as his time in ECW.
John Cronus.
Nope, he was the muscle for a tag team that I know you're highly fond of.
Big Dick Dudley?
Big Guido?
I don't know shit about Big Guido. You just told me everything about him.
I figured you'd be like, oh my God.
Fuck FBI.
FBI.
He's a fat son of a bitch. No, he was a fat son of a bitch that wore a trench coat. That's all I fucking remember of him.
God damn it. I thought, I'm like, I'm going to go ECW. I don't know anything about ECW.
Anyway.
Any secret. Yeah. I can go deep like WCW or 95 WWF and you know him. So I'm like, we'll go deep ECW and he'll know. He loves the FBI. He'll know all about Big Guido.
He wore a trench coat and he had a fucking dumb haircut. He was fucking fat and he was like, fuck him. Like
6'9", 350. No. Bish.
Oh, he was saying, oh, wait, I'm thinking of the, oh, I might be thinking of the same guy.
I think you're thinking, are you thinking of the right guy?
I don't know anymore. Like, I feel that, like, actually what's funny about that obviously, my brain's so dumb. Like, obviously he's the bigger brother of Little Guido, which makes me really happy. Because Little Guido's the best. Like, if you had done Little Guido, I would have gone, oh, fucking Nunzio?
I sent you some pictures of him, Bill. Just look.
I don't know how phones work.
Well, that's a beautiful picture of Tajiri on his shoulders spitting mist into someone else's face.
Why is this doesn't help, Doug. why would you think this would help? Doug, you need to go to bed so you can figure out how to
wake up.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to all you glorious listeners out there. I'm not sure if Bill's alive. We might be back next week. We'll have to see. I see the part of his forehead. So, yeah, maybe this will get published. I don't know. Maybe we'll be back for next week. We'll see if Bill makes it through the night. Right, Bill?
I don't know. I don't know if you can even hear me right now.
Yes.
Oh, the stress of capitalism is killing me.
Well, everyone head on over to follow us on Twitter. Come say hi. Let us know what you thought of the episode. Any matches you want me to watch or check out, or just tell us how horrible we are. So we're on Twitter over at IA Pro Wrestling. Check us on Instagram at It's All Pro Wrestling. Facebook, It's All Pro Wrestling. I don't see Bill anymore. Patreon, It's All Pro Wrestling. And be sure to check my library. Out. And be sure to check out our new store that we're highly excited for over at whatamaneuver.net. You can also find all those links in our link tree. So, again, thank you, everyone. It's been a blast, Bill.
Meet your blast.